Guys, why don't you open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you have a Bible. And I do apologize. In making the transition from our building downtown to this building, we're still getting extra Bibles sorted out. We do have them, and they are sitting in my garage, doing us no good today. So normally we'll have some extra Bibles here for you, but you can, if you have a smartphone, I know half of you probably read your Bible on your phone. That's fine. I will assume that you're not texting, but you are tweeting the amazing things I say today. Before we read in chapter 12, just a reminder, this is a series we just started, so you're here at the perfect time. We did an introduction to this series last week called Gifted, where we focus in on the supernatural gifting of God that he places and gives to his church. And the question we asked about this is, how do we embrace supernatural gifts where you go, wow, that's either totally God or totally not? How do you embrace that without going off the rails, without just becoming the kooky people? How do you do that without your church just losing its moorings? Very basic answer to that is, we do it with a biblical foundation and instruction. We don't just go crazy with gifting. We couple that with the Word of God. 1 Corinthians, I know you're in chapter 12. I'm going to read one verse from chapter 14. 14 verse 40 says this: "But all things should be done decently and in order." I grew up in a church where we very much emphasized decently and in order. Everything must be done decently and in order. And we were so focused on the decently and in order part that we kind of forgot the part that said, let all things be done. You know, let all things be done, but not just chaos. Let them be done with order. So one of my, he'd be like a grandfather in the faith to me. His name was Dick Benjamin, planted a church in Anchorage, Alaska. That church then sent out over 1,000 adults to plant churches around the United States and Mexico. His name, Dick Benjamin, he said this about this verse. He just said very simply, let all things be done decently in order, but let all things be done. But he had a big, gruff, low voice. So he said it like that. But let all things be done. That was kind of, it was sort of like Winston Churchill. So in our care, in our concern to be scriptural, to be biblical, to be very true to Scripture and rooted, we risk being too cautious and ignoring the very gifts that God gives to his church to glorify himself and to make us effective for the things he's called us to do. He's called us to the nations. He's called us to go to various cities to establish communities of the kingdom everywhere we go. He's called us to be cross-cultural, to get into different people groups, different languages. And he's not sent us out on our own. He sent us with himself and with his own Spirit. So today we're looking at the first two of these supernatural gifts given to the church as described in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 and 8. And I'm going to read the whole list of gifts here, but we're only going to talk about two of them today. Starting in verse 4. "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. Your translation may just say the word of wisdom. And to another, the utterance of knowledge or word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Whose idea is this? This is God's idea. This is as he wills. And he gives gifts to each one of us as he wills. So this is God's idea. This is God's will. This isn't just our great idea to make ourselves seem super impressive. So we have two gifts today, word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. And we're going to start with the word of knowledge. What is this? Definition showing up there. Let's go to the next. Definition. Supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God of information we would otherwise not know. This used to terrify me before I understood the grace of God. Because I grew up in a church where we really emphasized holiness. We really emphasized sin and repentance. And we were very aware that outside of Jesus, we were sinful, broken people. And we were not very confident at all in the forgiveness of Jesus. That he actually covers sin and deals with it. And I would go to bed fearful that there might have been something in my day that I had forgotten to repent for. And then if I died in my sleep, I would not go to heaven. I would go to hell because I forgot some bad thing in my life. So my prayers were full of fear. And I was like, oh, Jesus, I want to serve you. I want to follow you. But I don't. I also know how bad I am. Well, what that produces in people is fear. But fear produces shame. And shame produces a covering up of sin. So instead of being able to be open with people about real sin in my life, I had to pretend like it wasn't there. I had to look good when I came to church. So the very idea of a word of knowledge, someone knowing something about me that God told them, terrified me because I had a lot to hide. I'm sure no one has ever felt like that. I avoided going to meetings where there would be a prophetic atmosphere where someone might say something about me and my sin would be exposed for the world to see. I avoided it. My wife can tell you, before we were married, a guy came to our town. And everyone was going to these meetings at our church except me. I had to work. I conveniently had to work. Made sure I had to work so that I didn't have to go. Because if they found out the sins that John dealt with, oh no. Oh no. Well, guys, rest assured, that is not the point of the word of knowledge. Why does God give words of knowledge to us, to his church? Why does he give us supernatural information that we wouldn't know on our own? Why does he do that? We just read it in verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. This is for the common good, not for the common embarrassment. You know, not this is not for your public spiritual caning. Secondly, if we're going to look ahead here, verses 21 and 22. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again can the hand say to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. What are we saying in that? We need the gifts of the Spirit. Just because you may not operate in a word of knowledge in a meeting today, and God may not show you something, doesn't mean you don't need what God gives to others for your benefit. We need this. And then 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, what then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. And your translation of the Bible may say to edify. It's to edify or to build up the church. Why do we even want to talk about this? Why would we emphasize this on a Sunday morning? Of all the things we could talk about, why? Because God says he gives this to his church for the common good, because we need it, and because he wants to build us up. That's why. I'm going to look quickly at three different ways that he does this. And we're not going to turn to all these scriptures, or it would take all morning. But if we go to that, oh, you're already there. We're already there. And all three of these are going to show up pretty quickly. Why does God do this? To protect God's people and to expose, not you, to expose the enemy. To protect God's people and to expose the enemy. Now, in the Old Testament, there's a story of Elisha. Elisha is a prophet, and he ministered to the people of Israel. Israel seemed to always be warring with other people, other nations around them. And there was a wicked king, actually, that was coming after them. But every time this king would start to move his army to come and find Israel and to pin down, to trap Israel's army, God would show Elisha. He would tell Elisha, this is where he's coming. And so the king starts to move his armies, and they're gone. The place where they were, place where the army of Israel was, they're not there. So they find out again. They send their spies out. You know, they figure out, where are these guys going to be? We're going to get them. We're going to get them. They show up. They're not there. And this happens time and time again. You could go look up the story, 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 through 12. And this king finally says to his inner council, somebody's a spy. Who is telling Elisha? Who is telling him what we're doing? And they said, it's actually God. God's telling Elisha. So God was revealing to the prophet Elisha really practical things about military movements to protect his people and to expose the plans of the enemy. And he still does that today, guys. He loves to protect his people and to expose the plans of the enemy where he wants to destroy your life. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I've come that they may have life and have it to the full, have it abundantly. So God wants to expose the thief who comes to steal and kill and destroy from you. And sometimes we don't even know what's going on. You can be struggling with depression. You can be just battling things. And you don't know necessarily what is happening. And God will give someone a word of knowledge and say, hey, this is who God is for you. Turn your eyes to Jesus. And it sets you free. Secondly, and this is an interesting one, in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, we have the story of Ananias and Sapphira. This is a really interesting couple because they come to church and they sort of masquerade as really holy people, and they masquerade as if they're very generous people, and they sort of put on the show, but God sees right through it, and they come to Peter, and Peter just tells them privately. This is not in a public meeting. with everyone, but he tells them privately, hey, what are you doing? You're lying to the Holy Spirit. You're not just lying to people. You're lying to the Holy Spirit. And those people actually died that day. That's pretty serious. But here's what I want to get to with this story. This wasn't like a public meeting, again, a public shaming, but it was a time where God spoke very directly, and he dealt with an issue very directly that was going to harm his church. God loves his church, guys. He loves you. And he revealed to Peter exactly what was going on. The second reason that we need this is to partner with other gifts. Like healing, not limited to healing, partnering with other gifts and to encourage God's people. I'm telling you a lot of stories today because this is the only way you're going to learn about words of knowledge is to look back at the stories of the Bible to see where these are. So, Jesus, one day, Jesus is walking through a crowd. There's a lot of people around him. The crowds are pressing in on Jesus. They're all around because wherever Jesus goes, he heals people. Everywhere he walks, he heals people. People who are blind can see. People who are deaf can hear. People who can't walk, suddenly they're up and they're able to walk. Everywhere he would go, people were healed. So amazingly, the crowds are pressing in. Yeah, crowds are pressing in on Jesus. They're everywhere. People want to get to Jesus. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, who touched me? And his disciples actually kind of laugh at him. Like, hey, we're walking through this like dense crowd. What do you mean, who touched you? Like, everybody's touching you. And he says, no, someone touched me. I felt power go out from me. And there was this woman who had had, the Bible says it very nicely, an issue of blood for many years. And I'm a guy, I can't relate, but if you're having a monthly cycle solidly for years, this is a problem. And she's immediately healed. Wow. God cares about these things. And Jesus, who his own ministry, he subjected himself to the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus suddenly knows someone touched me. Like, not just the crowd touched me, but someone touched me and power went out from me. What happens? He gets a word of knowledge. This wasn't just a regular touch. This was supernatural touch. And he knew this. And it partnered with the gift of healing. Now the whole place, the woman was healed. She was already healed. But because Jesus had a word of knowledge about what happened, everyone else got to benefit too. So not only was she healed, but the whole crowd knew about it. That's not the kind of thing you just go telling everyone. Like I was in a meeting one time. This was an interesting meeting. And the person said, you know, if anyone's sick in the room, I want you to lay your hands on the part of your body that's sick. And there's this guy looking really, really awkward. Seriously awkward. And he didn't want to do it. And he didn't want to do it. And finally he says very quietly when a leader came up and like, what's going on? He's like, it's hemorrhoids. My issue is hemorrhoids. He's like, I am not laying my hands on this. I can't do this. No one, these are the things you don't talk about. Only Jesus isn't afraid to go there. And he brings, we have this story in Scripture because Jesus had a word of knowledge to encourage all of us and to partner with other gifts of healing. I had this happen in a meeting one time where I don't know if I was leading worship in the meeting or preaching, or I think I was preaching. And all of a sudden in the meeting, I just knew God wants to do something with bones and healing bones. And I didn't even know how to say it. I was like, someone has bone issues, and I feel like right now God is healing you. It's one of those things you just kind of throw out there and Like, oh gosh. Because I don't like to be weird, you know? And I'm sort of a, well, I like to be silly. Silly, I like. Let's put it this way. I don't really like to be judged. How's that? I don't like people to look at me and go, dude, that guy is off. Like, what is up with him? I mean, who likes that? Maybe some politicians do, where you've got half the world who hates you and half the world loves you. Yeah, right. So I'm not, personality-wise, I'm not like John the Baptist. I like to be liked. So when these things come, and I'm like, this is a risk, right? And I say it, and this woman comes up. At the end of the meeting, I'm just kind of going, did anything happen? What was that? And she comes up, and she's all excited, and she's doing this. She's going like this. She had bone spurs on the bottom of her feet, on her heels, and she could barely walk. And we said, God's doing something. There's this word of knowledge about God healing, and she was immediately healed of bone spurs in her foot. That's cool. I felt a lot better about it because I was like, oh, wow. Because I do come from kind of a perfectionist performance background. And those things, I still have issues with that sometimes, where like God's setting me free from, I can't ever be wrong. Well, this is a place, guys, this is a safe place where we can learn. And it's okay to say, hey, I feel like God is saying this. I feel, and this is a really practical thing. When you stand up and you say, God says this, and now you are speaking for God, you better be right. Amen. You better be on. But when you stand and you say, guys, I feel like God is saying this. And what you're doing is you're submitting to the body what you feel like God is saying, rather than pulling the God card. You pull out the God card. Thus says the Lord. Once you pull that card, well, how can I argue with you? How can I disagree with you? Because if I disagree with you, now I'm disagreeing with God. That's tough. Yeah. Sometimes we pull that God card because we know. We're very confident. And sometimes we're wrong. So the safe way to grow in this is we say, this is what I feel like God is saying. Okay? Thirdly on here, we're not going to spend much time on this one because we're going to totally focus on it in 2 weeks. To prepare and embolden us for what is to come. In Acts chapter 21, we have a story of a prophet, New Testament prophet, named Agabus. And Agabus comes to Paul, like Paul the apostle, the scripture writer. Paul, the man on a mission to the Gentile world. And he says to Paul, this is what's going to happen to you. You go to Jerusalem, and he wraps his hands, ties his hands up, and he says, this is what is going to happen to you. And then all the people around the church start trying to convince Paul not to go to Jerusalem because they think this can't be the will of God. This cannot be God's will for this to happen. And Paul actually says, stop it. I'm going to Jerusalem. He knows what's going to happen. This prophet has spoken to him a word of knowledge about the future, about what is coming into his life. And it's not the American television prophecy that everything is good. It's like your fortune cookie at the restaurant, right, where everything is just rosy for you, and everything, God just has a bed of roses laid out for you. It's not that. The prophetic word that comes to him is, you're going to be captured and imprisoned. Who wants to receive that word? Like, yeah, I want this. So what can come in a word of knowledge about future events, where we're going to go in 2 weeks, is more prophecy. Now, I want to focus on a second gift here, the word of wisdom. So we've got word of knowledge. We've got word of wisdom. Our definition of word of wisdom is this: supernatural understanding, revelation by the Spirit of what to do in a situation. This hits home. Because we all have issues in our lives, and we're going, God, what do we do? It might be about a job. It might be about a move. It might be schooling. It might be, how do I deal with this issue in my children? How do I deal with this issue in my marriage? How do I deal with fill in the blank? God, what do I do? God gives supernaturally wisdom so that we know what to do. He hasn't left us on our own. So let's go to the next slide. This looks very familiar to the slide that we saw a little bit ago. Why is it given by God to us? For the same reason he gives us all the gifts. For the common good, because we need it, and to edify and build up his church. This is why we need this. Word of wisdom. I'm going to jump back to the Old Testament. I'm just telling lots of stories today. Old Testament king, the son of David. So David was a great king and a terrible king at the same time. And his son Solomon inherits the kingdom of Israel from his father. And Solomon asks God for wisdom. God comes to him and says, in a dream, God comes to him and says, ask me, what do you want? What do you want? And Solomon says, I need wisdom to lead this people. I need wisdom to lead this nation. And God says, great, I'm going to give you wisdom. And because you asked for wisdom and not just for money or fame, or because you asked for wisdom, I'm going to handle all the rest of this stuff too. And so Solomon is called the wisest man who ever lived. So one day, and you can look this story up in 1 Kings chapter 3. One day, two prostitutes come to the king. And they are distraught. They are angry with each other. They are bringing trouble to the king, basically. Coming to the king with a serious issue. Here's the issue. Each of these prostitutes has recently had a child. So they each have a baby. And in the night, one of the babies died. And they're each claiming that the baby that is still alive is my baby. And the baby that is dead is her baby. So the one who speaks first says, yeah, this is what's happened. And she came at night. Her baby died, like she rolled over on her baby and smothered the baby. And she wakes up, her baby's dead. And she came while I was asleep and took my baby and replaced it with a dead baby. And the other one says, no, that's not what happened. It's the dead one's hers, the live one's mine. So they're each claiming the live baby's mine, the dead baby's hers. Well, what do? You're the king. You're sitting there like, I'm supposed to make a judgment on this. Now, God himself is the one who has gifted Solomon with wisdom. Now, you're not going to like the answer that he gives. No mama in the world is going to like the answer that he gives. No compassionate man in the world is going to like the answer that he gives. But the answer is a supernatural word of wisdom from God. And he says this. Get ready. Cut the baby in two. And immediately one of the women jumps up and says, no, give the baby to her. Give the baby to her. And Solomon said, that's the mama. He says, that's the mama. Because the other lady says, yeah, that's great. Cut the baby in half. We'll each take half home. And Solomon's like, yep, you are not that child's mom. This is the mom. Supernatural word of wisdom. How do I know what to do? How do I know who's right? How do I know? Boom. He hears from God. He speaks. That's a word of wisdom. Now, again, going to the prophet Elisha a little bit later in Israel's history. He comes to a woman in extreme poverty. And it's a famine in the land. There's trouble. And he comes to this woman, 2 Kings chapter 4. And he asks the woman a very simple question. What's in your house? What's in your house? And she says, well, I've got this little bit of oil. And he says, okay, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to all your neighbors. I want you to go all around the neighborhood and get pots, get jars, get everything you can. And that little bit of oil you have, I want you to take that flask and begin to pour it into the jars. And she does. So she begins to pour it. And she fills a jar. And she goes to another one and she fills another jar. And then she goes to another one and she fills another jar. Until she had filled every pot, every vessel that she could find. They were all full. And he says to her, okay, now sell all the oil you don't need. Use that money to live on and keep the oil you do. And there you go. You guys are set in this famine. You'll survive now. So God coupled this word of wisdom, what is she supposed to do, with a miraculous multiplication of oil. Pretty cool. I would like to see that. Guys, that is one of the ways we got to Spokane, was this exact scripture. I'm reading my Bible, and here's the question I'm asking God. God, you're sending us into a city. How do I make a living? You're planting a church. It's not like we just go in and everything's established and someone's going to hire me. We're starting from square one. So how do we make it? Guess what question God asked me? What's in your house? And I'm reading my Bible and he says, what's in your house? And I was like, well, I'm a musician. Okay. I could use that. And how do we start making connections and actually making some income moving into Spokane? By taking my musical background and volunteering in the schools and teaching in other schools. That's why I do volunteer. I do a guitar club at Holmes Elementary. We get connected in. What's in your house? So guys, the question I could ask you very, very simply today is, you're saying, how can I be effective for the kingdom of God? How can I be effective in Spokane? You know, maybe you're not a musician, but what's in your house? What is in your house? What do you have? Think about it. What is in your house? What has God given you? What, maybe you think, oh, that's so small. That's such a tiny little thing. It's like insignificant. Well, what if you're faithful with that? Guess what God could do with that? Amazing. Last story. This one's Jesus. Shortly before Jesus is going to be crucified, he's going to die for our sins, the religious leaders hated him and they're trying to take him out. They don't know that it's all fulfilling the purpose of God. They don't know this. They just think they're trying to stop this heretic, Jesus. And they come to him and they're trying to trap him. And they bring him a coin from the Romans. The Romans are the occupying force in Judea at the time. And they say to Jesus, because there's no right answer to this question, so, Jesus, do we pay taxes to Caesar or don't we? If he says yes, they can call him a Roman collaborator. How could he be the Messiah, the Savior of Israel, and be a Roman collaborator? But if he says no, well, now he's a rebel, and they can turn him into the Roman authorities as a rebel. And so either way, they've got him. And Jesus takes this coin, as they say, so do we pay taxes or not? And he says, give me a coin. They bring him a coin. He says, whose picture's on it? And they say, Caesar's. And he says, well then, give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Give to God the things that are God's. And they don't know what to say to that. because they're not even supposed to have that money with Caesar's picture on it. They are the Jewish religious leaders. They're not supposed to be messing with that. And he has this perfect answer from God. Perfect answer from his Father, given to him through the Holy Spirit. It's the Trinity operating together. This is how words of wisdom work, guys. What do I do? Jesus, I don't know what to do. Maybe you should ask. And when we come together in a meeting as we're worshiping, God may be speaking to you, just like I said in the meeting today. Hey, I feel like some of you, there's issues that you're struggling with, and God just wants to say, hey, I am the one fighting for you. I'm the one fighting for you. I felt like God wanted to say that and encourage the church. And Thierry jumped in with a word of wisdom, which was, you don't need to fight. You can just rest in the completed work of Jesus. And what you saw there was a coupling of a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom working together. This is how it works. And it wasn't like this crazy, flaky, weirdo kind of thing. It was just God blessing us and encouraging his church. So how do we use these, guys? How do we use this in the meeting? To encourage, to build up, and to strengthen the church. I just want to say a couple things, and we're gonna pray. Words of rebuke or personal correction, like the Ananias and Sapphira story, those are not for when we come together in a meeting. Those are privately. Those are to be handled individually. If you think you've got dirt on somebody, you submit that to people one-on-one. That's not why we come together, to just expose and embarrass one another. And if you have a question about that, should I share this? Should I not? Guess what? That's why we have leaders in the church. And you can come and say, hey, come to Donald, come to me and say, hey, I'm feeling like I've got this word for someone. Should I share this or not? You don't have to weigh that and carry that burden by yourself. That's why you have leaders. We all are in this together. This doesn't mean all of our words have to just be fluffy. And like we heard recently in our nation, we just heard recently that God really wants you to be happy and just do things for yourself. Just complete rubbish, silly stuff. It doesn't have to be just flaky, fluffy. We can be genuine, but we're encouraging in the way we bring it, and God will help us to do that. So our approach to this in a public meeting is never to preach our will at people. This is what I want to see happen in your life, and so I'm going to stand up and give a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom so that I can manipulate and control you. It's not my idea. Most words of knowledge, words of wisdom, will be very brief. It's not a preach. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to shift the focus a little bit from where I thought I was going to go to end the meeting. Tammy, could you come play? I'm going to start very, very simply. You don't have to stand. You can stay seated. But what I'd like us to do, as we're learning to hear the voice of God, some of you may, even as you're thinking about this, go, wow, you know what? I had scriptures coming to my mind in the middle of our meeting. You know, I do kind of get things where I feel like God wants to say this. And some of you, this might be brand new. I love that. So I guess what I'm trying to say is some of you are going to be farther down the track in this than some of the rest of us. So we're going to start very simply. And if you're willing, why don't you just close your eyes?